Your heart is where your treasure is. And that is why, then, think about it. That is why our treasure must be Christ. Because if our treasure is not Christ, then our treasure is not on Christ and with Christ. You can't have a healthy heart without having a wealthy heart in Christ. If your treasure isn't Christ, then your treasure, again, won't be filled with Christ.
Hi, and welcome back to Live in the Light. A brand new week here, but we're still in a great series. We're in the middle of our series called Healthy Heart, which really looks at what God's Word has to say about who we really are, this heart within us that consists of the mind, of the affections, and of the will. And as we've been seeing, it's really biblical teaching for the center of who we are. And so as God's Word takes and is poured over us, we're praying that your heart is changed to His glory as well. Now, Pastor Robbie's with me in studio today. And Robbie, today, Luke 12, and I love the title of this message.
Healthy heart equals a wealthy heart. That's right. You heard it right. When your heart is healthy, your heart will be wealthy. Now, some of you are like, what does that mean? I mean, wealthy heart. Well, so we got to listen and find out. But we're going to see here today, fundamentally, this passage, it is a big deal to me. It's a big deal to Craig. It's a big deal to God. And really, the essence of today's text is where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Loved ones, hear what God just said. If you want to find where your heart is, find out what you treasure. Because what we treasure will indicate where our heart really lies. Now, this is the challenge. This is the problem of our day. Our hearts can be so divided and so distracted by treasures that ultimately are on earth. And that is never going to work out for us. And let's just admit it. You, like me, every day face this temptation and fight this temptation. But we pray in Jesus' name today that when He's our true treasure, wow, then our hearts truly become wealthy. And you know it's right when I say, if your treasure is Christ, then you truly will find freedom and joy as you say no to the earth and yes to the wealth that is found in God Himself. Important text, a powerful text, great opportunity with our text today.
All right, well, let's get to our text without any further delay. Luke chapter 12, and here again is Pastor Robbie. A healthy heart is a wealthy heart.
Luke chapter 12 is where we're going to end our Healthy Heart series. I'm just going to pray right now as we get into God's Word officially. Now, Father, my prayer is simple tonight, but it's genuine. Oh, God, may You renew our minds now. Important topic tonight, Lord. May You stir our affections in love, and may You call our wills to join with Yours. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 12, again, where we are, final message. Today we end here. A healthy heart equals a wealthy heart. I like that sermon title. I like where we're going. A healthy heart equals a wealthy heart. Loved ones, this message is as important as any within this series, and here is why. Luke 12, verse 34. Look at Luke 12, verse 34, the key verse for this whole day together. Luke 12, verse 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let me say that again. For where your treasure is, this is massive, man. Just think of the implications of what Jesus is saying here in the Word, in the Gospels, to us, to our hearts today. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I stress the word there, because you ask, where's my heart? There it is. You're like, where is it? There it is. You're like, where's there? It's wherever you find your treasure. That's where you find your heart. Some of you are like, man, I've lost my heart. Because it's over by your treasure, man. Your heart is where your treasure is. And that is why, then, think about it. That is why our treasure must be Christ. Because if our treasure is not Christ, then our treasure is not on Christ and with Christ. Do you see that then? It's a massive spiritual principle. It's a massive spiritual fact and a massive spiritual truth. You can't have a healthy heart without having a wealthy heart in Christ. If your treasure isn't Christ, then your treasure again won't be filled with Christ. Just think about it. I could stop right here and just pray right now and get an altar call going for the amount of people whose treasure is not Christ. And then right away, it's like, oh, no wonder I have not been treasuring Christ, and therefore my heart is not healthy. Because again, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. We're going to start in verse 34 today. We're going to end in verse 34 today. But we're going to illustrate verse 34 with Luke 12. Verses 13 to 21, which is in the context of this chapter and where Jesus is going. Luke 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, reading it now, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, that's Jesus, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to a man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. If that verse isn't underlined, you should change that right now. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, this is great, man. I just love this parable Jesus is telling you. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things that you've prepared and all your big barns, my paraphrase, whose will they be? And here's the point of the parable. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Three things that we take from this parable in relation to our treasure must be Christ and not upon the world. Our outline says this: where my treasure is, there will my heart be also. Therefore, number one, I must guard my heart from greed. If my treasure is wherever, or my heart, if my heart is wherever my treasure is, without a doubt, 100%, I have to then guard my heart from greed. Again, verses 13 and 14. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But Jesus said to a man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? So here we have a man within the crowd who's decided to ask Jesus to solve his inheritance problem. As one commentator humors, he says, it has been often said that where there's a will, there's a lot of relatives, right? And that's often true. Graham Lacey, he said this. He said he used to tell a story about a wealthy man who died, and his executor called everybody into the solicitor's office, and the will was read. First, to my brother John, I give all my stocks and bonds. To my sister Mary, I give all my property. And to my other sister Helen, I give all my cash in all my banks. And to my brother Harold, who always said I wouldn't mention him in my will. Hello, Harold. Can we vow something today? You know those movie scenes where you see the family sitting around a will and they're all fighting with one another, and you see either the rich wife or the rich girlfriend sitting there, all she wants is the money, all the other relatives are just trying to clam over. Can we vow not to be that guy today? Can we vow not to be that girl today? Can we vow not to be people who fight over wills and money? Can we vow today that in situations like things that come up, can we vow that we'll trust the Lord as opposed to the world? Can we vow that we won't fight over every penny, how ugly that is, which would be going exactly against what Jesus is teaching within this parable today? Can we vow that in those situations, our hearts will be revealed? And therefore, can we vow to pursue what we know is true, that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also? Some of you might be in these type of situations right now. You know what, man? Just give it up. Don't be the person that has to have everything to be. Don't be that person. You'll never win. You'll never win. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord and let Him decide what lands in your life. Back to our text here. Jesus answers this individual, and basically what he says is this. He says, I have not become God incarnate. I have not become the Word and became flesh to handle such trivial issues like inheritance problems. Jesus came to save the world from sin. Again, not to decide ridiculous issues such as this. Jesus, his desire and his concern is not for checking accounts, but listen, his purpose and the desire of Jesus is for the heart. So what Jesus does here, he takes this trivial question and he turns it into a life-changing exhortation, verse 15. Verse 15, he says, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. Here we go. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Like I tell you, when I got saved, man, this verse, like when Jesus gave me eyes of faith for him, this verse became one of my greatest joys. The reason was I lived my whole life under the bondage and the false system of the world that my life did consist in the abundance of my possessions. I get saved. My eyes are open. I see Jesus Christ. I see it's all his righteousness. I see that nothing counts as far as money or the world. And I see, I don't have to live this way anymore. I'm not in bondage to this system that I thought if I didn't have X, Y, Z, that I wouldn't be blessed in A, B, C. You mean this doesn't really count anymore? It was, praise the Lord, hallelujah, freedom has arrived. It was one of the best moments ever, and it continues to be. Whenever I look at verse 15, man, my heart goes, yes, yes, yes. It's not about what everything else in the world tells me my life is about. Jesus says my life is about him and him alone. I pray you know the same freedom every time you read the verse that your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. Notice what Jesus says specifically. He says, take care and be on guard against all covetousness. That phrase, take care, means see to it or keep your sight on. In other words, when it comes to greed, when it comes to covetousness, you cannot fall asleep at the wheel. You must keep your vision clear. And then it says, be on guard, be on guard. This is passionately guard your heart. Watch your heart closely. What a great verse this is to end our series because it's so closely tied to our theme verse of our series. Don't look over here again. Remember our theme verse? Don't look over here. You're all cheating again. Come on now. All right. Keep your heart with all vigilance. Proverbs 4:23. How many people know the verse? Yeah, either you're humble or something else. Anyways, right? Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Keep your heart with all vigilance. Why? Because from your heart flows life, flows the spring of life. And Jesus, really, this New Testament verse is such a great parallel. Take guard, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of one's possessions. Love it so much. This is when we realize again the utter importance of weekly, daily heart checks. Remember, loved ones, remember again, you never move beyond caring for and understanding and examining the condition of your heart. You don't end this series and get a check mark. Okay, done that. On to that. No. All the way to heaven. What is a simple heart exam I can take from this point forward and for the rest of my life? Three questions. Very simple heart exam that I take more than I realize. Three questions. Here it is. Ask yourself this. What have I been thinking? What have I been loving? And what have I been doing? Okay? Three simple questions for a great heart exam. Take your last 7 days. I do this several times a week. What have I been thinking? Mind. What have I been loving in my life? Affections. And what have I been doing? My will. You see, so if I look in the past 7 days, very, very quickly, what thoughts are entering my mind? What am I reading? What am I listening to? Who am I listening to? What am I thinking upon? What am I loving? What am I proving with my heart in my affections? What has captured my love in my life? Is it God? Is it things that matter, like my family? Is it things of Christ, or is it idolatry? And then finally, the last 7 days, how have I spent my time? What have I actually, see, all these things, you can't lie. You can't say, well, actually, I was doing something. No, you did what you did, right? And so you take that exam and you figure out where you have been. And that's a great way to test, man, where's my heart at? And what I do then, you take the last 7 days and you say, this needs to change, and this needs to change, and this needs to change, and then do it. And then you begin to pursue, again, a heart that is increasingly healthy. What am I thinking? What am I loving? What am I doing? All right, back to our text. Jesus provides here significant warnings and commands to be on guard, notice, but on guard from what? Verse 15, be on your guard against all covetousness. Now, covetousness can easily be translated and is in many translations as greed. And what essentially is greed? Well, we know greed essentially is the desire to have more. What's covet? To covet is to long for something you don't have, or to long for what someone else does has. Covetousness is to wrongly and insatiably long for wealth and possessions. Okay? A word to the wise here. Our society is fully set up to lead you to wrongly and insatiably desire things you don't have. Have you figured that out yet? I mean, think of the last time you saw a commercial that said, if you don't call within the next 30 minutes, you will find yourself being content in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and satisfied with what you don't need at this time, right? You've never heard that. There's never been a commercial that says, don't buy this, you'll be better off. Because the whole system of our world is, you need this latest thing. Your life stinks without this product. You'll be so much happier if you purchase this. I mean, you got to sit back and see it for what it really is. The healthy heart does, man. The healthy heart sees right through the lies and the evil system of our world trying to get you to bigger and bigger and bigger barns for what? For nothing. And the wise and the healthy heart start to see this. Here's the problem with greed. Ready? Here's the problem with greed. No one thinks they're guilty of it. One of the greatest problems of greed is so few think it's actually a problem for them. Pastor Tim Keller really helped me out to see this. I'll paraphrase what he said. He said, the greatest weapon of greed is that it hides itself so well. Greed is wickedly deceptive and subtle. See, here's the problem is that people always compare themselves to someone who's above them. And therefore, they don't think that they struggle then with greed. Because in our day, it's always you can get to another level, but then you look to the level above you. And no matter where you are, there's always another level. And there's always someone with something more than you and a nicer house or more money, whatever it is. And so we're always comparing ourselves to people above us. And therefore, we never think we actually struggle with a problem or a sin like greed. See, the greed issue doesn't exist in our lives because we're living more simply than that person over there. But see, the healthy heart, the standard is not the world. The standard is Christ. And the standard is the Word of God. It's so true. Here's what Keller points out too. He says this. He goes, he can't recall someone coming up after a service and confessing to him, a pastor, I just want to let you know that I really am convicted. I struggle with greed. He can't recall someone coming up and saying, and just admitting out loud, the problem with my life is greed. I've hurt my family. I've hurt my marriage. I've hurt my life because I'm too hoarding and greedy for money and for possessions. And I thought about that. I'm like, that's so true. Like just even last week, had lots of people pure in heart message. Lots of people come up and confess issues of purity of heart, confess pornography, confess living with a boyfriend she shouldn't have been, confessing, again, impurity in hearts in different areas. I can't remember the last person who's come up and said, I really struggle with greed. I really struggle with the love of money. I really struggle with lusting after wealth and possessions. But again, here's why. Because so few of us actually think we have a problem with this. Now, let's be clear here this evening. Let's be clear. We have deceived ourselves. If we sit here today and we think we don't struggle with greed on some level, we have deceived ourselves. That's what the heart does. It's constantly deceiving and telling lies. Jesus taught far more on greed than he did sex. Why? Because greed is the greater issue. So here's wisdom when it comes to the examination of your heart. The healthy heart doesn't say, is there greed in my life? The healthy heart says, where's the greed in my life? That's the starting point. If you're wise right now, loved ones, I mean, I'm just trying to love you with truth right now. You will examine your heart and you will say, where is the greed of my life? Not is there greed in my life? Because all of us in some way or another will be affected by this sin. But you see, here's the deception of greed and covetousness. Let's say, here's the deception in reference to money. Here are three main ways that money can be an idol within our lives, because really the context of this passage are financial resources. The most common way money can be an idol is this: we want more money to get more stuff. So we're greedy to have more possessions. We want more money so we can enter into new circles. I don't care if you're a high school student right now or you're on the verge of retiring with your nest egg. It's the most common way of, I want more money to be in a new circle with new people, have more glamour. Have you figured this yet? Figured this out yet? How fun it is to say no to purchasing something newer or better? Have you figured out yet how fun it is to go in the opposite direction of the rest of the world? Have you figured out how fun it is to look at something and say, I actually don't need that? To like decrease your monthly expenses so you can increase your monthly giving? Have you figured out how fun it is to say, I have 17 pairs of jeans, I don't need an 18th? Woohoo! Have you figured that out yet? It is so much fun to look at something and say, I could, but I won't because I don't need. I love that in my life. Listen, getting stuff is not wrong as long as your heart's not attached to it, but it's just so fun to move in the other direction. It's so fun to not go to the mall every week or whatever, or to not have to buy. So like, my car's fine, or I don't need that new shirt. It's just so fun to say, my house is totally suited. It's just fun to do that. Because you get to stare in the face of the world system and say, no, thank you, not right now. The most common form, hear what I'm saying. It's not wrong to get things, as long as your heart's not there. It's just so much fun to not even go down there sometimes. It's fun to say, I'm good, man. Love contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain, great gain. The most common form of greed is wanting more stuff to get to new circles. Here's the most seductive form of money. This is the person who wants more money to get more power over others. Many of us will struggle. We want more money because we want more control, and we love that control. We want it because it makes us feel special and important. We think people will treat us differently because we've achieved a certain level of success, and therefore we'll be respected because we can flash around our money or our power or whatever it is, our influence. Just check your heart right now. Just check your heart. That's one of the most seductive forms of the idolatry of money. Even in giving, people can feel so powerful in giving. You know those individuals where they run a whole church because they're the main giver? Well, that's sinful. On the outside, it looks like they're generous, but inside, it's just idolatry of money. It's power. Like, watch out for that. That's why Jesus says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. I mean, give anonymously and rejoice in the fact that no one knows what you're doing. But here's the most hidden form of the idolatry of money. The most hidden form of the idolatry of money is you want money for more safety and security. Okay, this can be the person that actually spends nothing. But don't you see that that can be utter greed as well? You see, you're not spending, but you're keeping it for yourself. So really what you're doing, it's an inward greed as opposed to an outward greed. You don't want to spend anything because you're too cheap or because you're just a miser in that way. And so you hoard it all for yourself. And what's happening to you? Just hoarding up for you. Watch out for that. I mean, men, some of you men, you got to take your wife out for dinner. I mean, my goodness. It's just been, love her. Like, love her. You know, your pastor, you're telling me not to spend money. No. This is about the heart. You know, listen, the miser, this is amazing insight for me. The miser can be just as greedy as the overspender. It's just putting the money in different places, but it's not being rich toward God. So let that sit for a little bit, because it's the most hidden. It's the most hidden. Generosity is what we need to see from our lives. You know, when you see, you look at these things, man, the heart's wicked, isn't it? Amen? Like, it's just so wicked. But that's part of the heart surgery that gets us to a healthier place. Here is Jesus' point of this first command, verse 15. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions, but so many in our day live as though it does. So many people define their lives by what they possess. But if we have any hope for a healthy heart, we must guard against greed. Why? Because you cannot serve both God and money. Let's look at that verse in detail again on the screen for you. Matthew 6, verse 24, it says this: No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Okay, ready. Again. Do not be deceived that you can play the game in both areas. Jesus is very clear. No one can serve two masters. Who? No one. They're like, oh, I'm going to do it. No, you're not. You're not going to do it. Just do not believe that lie. No one can serve two masters. You cannot love and you cannot serve both God and money. Case closed. See, the healthy heart must serve the Lord alone. I don't know what the Holy Spirit's doing right now, man. I just assume there's a lot of filtering going on right now and there's a lot of conviction. Convince yourself that Jesus is right and you are wrong. Just convince yourself that Jesus is right and the commercials on TV are wrong. Just convince yourself he is smarter than all of us. And Jesus says you cannot serve both God and money. All right, let's keep moving. Where my treasure is, there will my heart be also. Therefore, number two, I must refuse then to be a fool. So Jesus teasing, he illustrates his teaching here with a parable. Look at verse 16. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns, build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you've prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Now, the word that catches my attention in that parable is the word fool. In verse 20, God calls this man a fool. Okay, think about it. This is God calling a man a fool. Now, whenever I see that in Scripture, I want to run as far away as the man that God Almighty is calling a fool. Whatever that guy is, I don't want to be him, because God's pretty clear here. He's not wise. He's not healthy. He's unhealthy. He's a fool. Who is this guy? Remember right now, we are holding in our hands the very word of God. We are reading this for our blessing. Jesus seeks right now to make us wise and not foolish. And so I hope then there's no way that we actually want to be fools, okay? But just in case you do want to be a fool, here are three ways to guarantee that, all right? Just in case you want to be a fool, here are three ways to guarantee foolishness in your life. Number one, accumulate unnecessary wealth and possessions. If you want to be a fool, then accumulate unnecessary wealth and possessions.
Well, amen. Thankful for Pastor Robbie's message today. God is good, isn't he, listeners? We hope that this series and this message in particular is encouraging you as you continue on in your life following Jesus Christ. But we want you to be aware that there are other messages and other series that we pray would be an encouragement to you as well. And if you'd love to check those out, please make sure you visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these free resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. Thanks for joining us today, listeners. We hope you join us again next time here on Live in the Light.